But you just tear the lower part of your being, well, I've heard that before. Stop complaining. If you go on complaining, I won't pay any attention to you. But let me tell you, you will never choose, much less will you sustain your choice or love what Christ tells us we should love, unless we are convinced and the one who tells us is our God. Second level of reflection. Humility as a foundation for faith. We can hardly imagine more humble circumstances in which God could have come into the world. Talk about divine ingenuity. 1st of all, to be conceived and born in a subjugated Jewish nation. Then, among the Jews, there were wealthy and poor Jews. So among, shall we say, the lower class. Then on top of that, Mary was about to give birth. She and Joseph went to Bethlehem. No chance, no coincidence that Christ was born in a stable. The eternal Word of God became, as we said before, the speechless one. Joseph was humbly obedient to the decree of Caesar Augustus. I want to make sure he knew how many Roman citizens he could tax. Mary humbly went to Bethlehem, anticipating what actually occurred. She, we are told, after the shepherd's visit, didn't say a thing. Treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. If there is one symbol of humility, it is silence. And whatever you decide on during the retreat, may I beg you to, in God's presence, ask yourself, how are you using your tongue? There's a proverb, I'm sure, in more than one nation. Speak, so I may know who you are. Maybe the 3rd chapter of the letter of St. James, which talks about the tongue. We're now reflecting both on Mary's and Joseph's humility, and of Christ by definition. And Bethlehem, did he say anything? By the way, just for on a lighter note, in teaching Islam, I tell my students to turn to the Quran, where Muhammad describes the birth of Jesus. It goes on for verses. He borrowed heavily from what he knew, not much, but what he knew about Christianity. That's Muhammad. Well, this would have been like maybe, say, 2 or so months after Christmas. Some women of Nazareth came to visit Mary. And Mary the child, you know, what a beautiful baby. And it's all recorded in the Quran. Then at one point, apropos of nothing, she tells these women, this is Mary, ladies, do you know that I'm a virgin? And the women said, "You're a what?" "I'm a virgin." Now these two women, and the Arabic calls them hags, they began to tell Mary what they thought of her. What nonsense. And it goes on for about five verses in the Quran, at which point the Christ child can't take any more. This is all good Arabic. The Christ child, well, props himself up, stands up in the crib, and gives these two women a piece of his mind. That goes on for, I think, six verses, his speech. In the meantime, these two women, to say they are aghast, but he put it, putting it mildly, after they were duly silenced, then the babe goes back to his crib and falls asleep, all in the Quran. Is that nice? The Muslims believe in Mary's virginity. Good to hear that. The shepherds, still on humility, humbly followed the angel's directives. And they shared the first apostles. They shared what they had seen and heard. That's number two. Humility as the condition for the faith. Nobody reasons himself out of the Catholic Church. Amen. There's only one, pardon me, there are only two reasons. And one overlaps with the other. There are two reasons why once professed Catholics cease to be Catholics. That's easy. They are the first two capital sins, pride and lust. Simple. While teaching at the State University in Michigan, I had occasion to give lectures in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan. And one evening I had dinner with the Newman chaplain before the lecture, and he told me, he said, "You know, the students come to tell me that, well, they no longer believe. Used to be Catholics." So I tell them to sit down, and the first question I ask them is, "How's your sex life?" So far, he says, "I haven't missed one." Christ's teaching is a demand on our humility and on our chastity. And I would say, a person is only as chaste as he is humble. Only humble people can be chaste. And I use the auxiliary verb deliberately, can be. Unless we're humble, we just won't believe. Or we'll believe, all right, to keep rational. But we'll believe in somebody else, but not in God, become man. Finally, poverty as the condition for humility. At the beginning of his public ministry, remember our Lord said, quoting Isaiah, "I have come to preach the gospel to the poor." Bethlehem is nothing if not a symbol of poverty. Poor shepherds. Depending on your translation, do you know those shepherds about whom Luke speaks? Do you know they lived in the fields? Did you know that? Look it up. If it doesn't say lived in the fields, it's a bad translation. They just weren't in the fields casually. They lived there. Christ, born in a cave. We reduced Bethlehem in many ways to poetry. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Now by now we think we know what swaddling clothes are. If we know some French and you in Canada sure know what a manger must be. Well, the Revealed Greek says you'll find a baby wrapped in rags and laid in a trough. That's the Greek. Okay, this is a safe question. Were any of you born in a stable? Two Christmas ago, after about a month before Christmas, a woman told me she was to deliver just shortly before Christmas. Husband drove a truck. Betty had at least two children. Not much money. And the cost of delivering a child in a hospital in Washington, they couldn't afford. Well, as things got closer to delivery time, finally found a doctor. I called him up. I had never met the man before. I should say I met him afterwards. He wanted to talk to this priest who got him to. Deliver the baby, because anything could have happened, you know, to be in a hospital and available for medical attention if the child needed it. Most of the human race goes to bed hungry every night. To talk about poverty, in affluent societies like Canada or the United States, I mean it, is to be talking a very, very foreign language. When then God became man, St. Paul tells us he emptied himself. And Bethlehem, I call the sacrament of poverty. Once we believe, but we have to believe, that God impoverished himself. This, by the way, is one of my favorite descriptions of the Incarnation. The impoverishment of God. He couldn't have stooped lower. God couldn't have become an animal, obviously. The lowest thing, pardon me, on the rational level is human nature. And then to manifest that poverty, Christ is born, and we have to use the word, in destitution. This is a retreat. It's not a series of lectures. The purpose of a retreat is to change our lives. And among the things that all of us, must look to is how much we have of material possessions. How we use them. And above all, how much we share. I gave a retreat this summer, private retreat to a multimillionaire. And during the retreat, he kept telling me, "Father, there's one thing that keeps bothering me." Those words of Jesus, saying how hard it is for the rich to enter heaven. I said, "Tom, you're right. You're absolutely right. you are right. We can be so addicted to the things of this world, so complacent about, let's say, we enjoy, and maybe, just maybe, some of the things you get back to that four-ply category, you know, category one that we enjoy, category two that we endure, category three that we remove, category four that we surrender. It may just be, ask our Lord to enlighten you, where the things that you now have in category one might not just possibly belong to category even three, or at least category four. I have a short closing prayer. Lord Jesus, increase our faith, deepen our humility, detach our hearts from the things in this world into poverty of spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I still believe we should say a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think we have time to make Vespers, don't you think? Is it? 5:30. And what's the next thing?